Hi there, listeners. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm the host of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. And before we start this week's broadcast, I just want to remind all you men out there who are listeners that we have an incredible workshop that's available for those of you who just need help in overcoming some of your secret sexual sins, whether it be pornography, affairs, strip clubs, even homosexual behaviors. We have a three-day workshop that is called Gateway to Freedom. It is a powerful workshop where you can connect with other men, that you can get the wisdom and insight of folks who have decades of experience in sexual addiction treatment, and you can finally find the hope that you need to be a different man. The next Gateway to Freedom workshop is coming up November 7th through the 9th in South Texas. Why don't you find out about our Gateway to Freedom workshop by simply going to our website, gatewaymen.com, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-49-PURITY to get more information about this powerful workshop. Again, that's gatewaymen.com or 1-800-49-PURITY.
Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's so great to have you here with us. You know, this is going to be the second part in our series on sexual anorexia. And before we get started, I just want to thank you all for listening. We come to you every week from San Antonio, Texas, and it's just so good that you're out there listening. Did you know that this broadcast has been listened to by people in more than 45 countries around the world? I mean, that's mind-blowing to me that a couple of guys can sit in a padded room and talk about sex and porn and a life of purity, and there are people all over the world that want to hear it through our podcast. And for those of you listening on a traditional radio station, we have some affiliates all around the country that pick up our broadcast. If you want to share this information with other people, the easiest way to do that is through our podcast. It's very easy to subscribe. If you just go to our website at puresexradio.com, right there on the homepage, there's a subscribe button. It's absolutely free. Every broadcast that we do is free for you to download online and subscribe to. So hopefully you can take advantage of that. Well, my name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm sitting here with my friend Steven Cervantes. Hey there, Steven.
Hey, Jonathan.
And here we are going to get rolling with this next segment on sexual anorexia. And all this information, the information we're taking from is out of a book by Patrick Carnes, and it's called Sexual Anorexia. And really would highly recommend that you get a copy of this book if some of the things that we've been talking about in these last two broadcasts are part of your situation, and maybe your marriage, and maybe you yourself are struggling with sexual anorexia. To get help for it, we really recommend the book Sexual Anorexia by Patrick Carnes. So, Stephen, how are we going to do this week? We're going to go through some more of the characteristics of sexual anorexia itself.
Yes, we are. The topic is sexual anorexia, and if we can add any insight, that's what we'd like to do. But I'd like to just remind everyone, when you think about addiction, think about someone who is trying to manage emotional pain in an inappropriate way. Or a lot of times they say addiction is bad coping. So you're trying to feel better and do something, but you practice and get better at your addiction instead of digging in and working on your personal emotional pain. So what happens is sexual anorexics have a fundamental terror of sex. They avoid it. It creates fear in them. They resist anything that's connected to sex. They don't want to have discussions. They don't want to go back and forth with anyone else. They don't want to hear jokes about it. They see sex as the enemy. And they have a profound sexual self-hatred. That is what one would use to describe a sexual anorexic. So, well, I'm going to go through a bit of a definition, a list here. And you and I were talking beforehand, and if you could see the bell curve, this is often one way that anorexia is described, is the on one end you have sexual addiction, which is more and more acting out behavior of this big bell curve. And at the other end, you have the other extreme is sexual shutting down behaviors, disinterest and avoidance of sexuality. And in the middle, where it rises, is where you have people, the big glob of people in the middle managing their sexuality that haven't gone into an addiction or haven't gone into anorexia. And in anorexia, you find a pattern of resistance to anything sexual. Just watch them. It's not once in a while they don't want to talk about it. It's not that occasionally they don't laugh at a joke. There is this pattern, and it is to resist dialogue, discussion, joking, anything sexual. They continue this pattern even though they know it's, you know, self-destructive. They are sexual beings, but they can't engage in it. And so they act in such a way that is to as to shame, put down, even be self-destructive.
Well, and isn't a lot of this, they are resisting the idea or maybe what sexuality represents. Because it kind of gets convoluted. Like we talked last time, you know, a lot of this stems from in their childhood coming out of an environment where there was betrayal or rejection or violence. And so their
good.
Sexual...
You paid attention to the last discussion. That was
I was listening. I was listening, yes. So there's this idea that somehow their sexuality kind of got attached to something that it represented that was unhealthy, negative, and caused them to want to distance themselves. Like, for instance, I mean, if you have a child that's in an environment growing up where there's a lot of violence, and they somehow made an attachment between violence and their sexuality, then certainly they're going to want to avoid anything sexual because it represents violence to them, whether it was abuse or trauma.
Right.
Rejection, same thing. If they somehow tied their sexuality to being rejected, well, then they're going to want to avoid everything sexual because it represents rejection to them. So I think it's important maybe to make... They have kind of gotten to the place where, although to the person looking from the outside, they would look at this person and say, what an abnormal person that, especially as it pertains to men. Like, we hear this from wives all the time. I don't get it. My husband doesn't want to touch me. That's weird for a man, right? I mean, aren't men sexual? Aren't men always thinking
but,
about sex?
You know what's interesting is that it's like real relationships are hard up close. And I think what you were saying a minute ago is very interesting. If you watched your parents have a lot of violence and yet they were still kind of a couple close, then that's too risky. And so if you say, okay, I'm not going to get sexual, that means I'll never be close to anyone, then I'll be safe. Do you see how that connection is made? Because two people in relationship that are sexual act this way, so therefore I'm going to be strong and powerful and I'm going to control my sexuality so I never get up close to anyone.
But what's interesting to me is that doesn't necessarily mean that person is never sexual. But they're probably not sexual in relationship.
That's up close. That's what I would say. A female would scare a man.
Yeah.
You know, because he's fully in control. This guy that's shut down, he doesn't want to engage her. And so she makes an advance. She touches him. you know, she kisses him. She kind of leans over. She puts her head on him at a movie, and he just kind of stiffens up. Because it's like she says, come on, this is an invitation. Let's be close. And he goes, no. When I get close, I remember terrible things happen when you get close to a person.
And yet that same man may be looking at pornography. Because that's something he can do isolated by himself. It doesn't yeah. have the same sort of risk factor to it. And so we hear from couples sometimes where they haven't had sex maybe in years in terms of in their real relationship with one another, yet the husband's looking at pornography on the internet.
And you go, how does that make any sense?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
Unless you understand sexual anorexia.
Yes.
And how that component
and
let's
you and I, as we wrap up at the last part of this, talk about this overlaying effect that you and I were talking about. But I'm going down a list. So there's a pattern. And even though it becomes, that's number one, a pattern. Number two, even though it's self-destructive, it continues. And number three, they will go into extreme measures to avoid sexual contact or attention, affection, even if it means, you know, mutilating themselves in some cases or distorting themselves. I mean, they are averse to anything intimate. And so they rigidly stay disconnected.
And I think this is, you know, a lot of what we do on this program, we're really talking about male sexual addiction, things like this. But you can see how this very easily can apply to men or women. I think a lot of times, you know, when you're talking about this, going to extremes to avoid sexual contact, I've probably heard more stories of this happening with women who are struggling with sexual anorexic type feelings than even men, although it does occur in men. But I think women who have this aversion to sex, I think sometimes we too quickly dub it as, oh, she must have just had abuse in her past, or oh, she just must have had this trauma in her past, and not realize that it might be something as deep as the sexual anorexia, that she may have, you know, shut down part of herself, and it's not always tied to abuse, or it's not always tied to something of that nature.
So they have this rigidness about them, and they're very judgmental when it comes to sexuality, their own sexuality, relationships that may develop into sexual relationships. They have an avoidance and rigidity and judgmental aspect that says bad, avoid, don't.
Now, would you say this is people that, because when I hear that, you know, they have a rigid judgmental attitude toward their own sexuality and the sexuality of others. Well, what would that look like? Would that be somebody that's kind of maybe vocally or really outwardly condemning?
No, these are people that isolate themselves, right? Remember, they don't do relationships very well. Now, they would go to their head to do the socially appropriate things at time, but internally, from an emotional belief standpoint, they believe it's bad and that they must rigidly control it so it doesn't sneak up and slip into their life.
But what I'm saying is over the course of years of working in the sexual addiction community, I've actually heard stories of pastors who rail against immorality and pornography, and yet they haven't had sex with their wife in 10 years, and they've been looking at porn online. And so they've got this very judgmental attitude towards sexuality, but they're detached emotionally. They're detached. But they may be participating in things in a way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got to figure out about this pastor piece because most people don't have a platform, right?
Right.
So, I mean, a story you told earlier about a guy who's at home and everybody thinks he's such a nice guy, but then his wife says he hasn't had sex with me in 10 years, you know, but I see him looking at porn. I go, why doesn't he want to do any of that with me? You know, from the outside, you can't tell because he's a wonderful guy. But then there's in the other aspect where you stand up in a pulpit and you condemn it. I don't know. I have to think about that a little bit because that might be somebody being judgmental and passing their judgment about
it. But what you're saying is more commonly it's somebody that's maybe more internally judgmental.
Yes, that was my point. You have this internal dialogue that says it's bad, and you can't waver, and you have to be rigid, and you can't entertain any of it because that's weakening your internal system. You can't think about dating or flirting. You just absolutely have to have those thoughts gone as far as possible from yourself. So their resistance and aversion to things sexual helps them to manage anxiety and to avoid deeper, more painful issues. You spend your whole time not being sexual. That's your job, is to stay logically in your head and then to have your defenses about sexuality and to not engage it. But it's not living, you know? You're not
well, what
really
I was going to say
in.
Is there's an irony to this because they're spending all their energy resisting and avoiding anything sexual in an attempt in their mind to manage anxiety and avoid all the deeper issues. Well, the irony is that it seems like that's going to create more anxiety and even worse, deeper issues.
Yes, except remember, isolation is the goal. Detachment is the goal. And so what you're saying is right. If the goal would be to connect with other people, then I'm going to tell you about my emotions and my anxiety. But my goal is to be detached.
But what
and
I'm
alone.
Saying is, even if that's the goal, even if they achieve that goal, things are getting worse.
Of being alone.
Yeah, because they weren't created for that.
No, absolutely.
You know, so
they're getting better at being loners, and they're getting worse at playing with life instead of really digging in and living
right.
life.
And that's, you know, almost if you could boil down sexual anorexia into a nutshell, it seems like what it is it's a life of pretending. You have to kind of go into a life of, you're playing a role.
But you look like a normal average guy.
That's just it. That's the role you're playing.
Yes.
But the real you is like
nice and friendly and, you know.
And the real you is kind of buried underneath all of this nice facade, this perfectionism, this please everybody. And the real you is just kind of rotting underneath all of that.
Yes, but I think that there's a sense that, I mean, we're sexual beings, and if somebody's not comfortable with their sexuality, there's like a little bit of an artificialness to who they are. You can kind of tell something's not exactly right just because they're not honest. You know, they're stiff. They wouldn't laugh at a joke or make a joke or laugh about themselves or you know, be vulnerable. So here's another on this list. They have extreme shame and self-loathing about sexual experiences in their bodies and any sexual attributes. They are ashamed, they carry shame, they repeat shame, and they loathe the fact that they are sexual at all.
Well, and this is something that you get this similar type of response in either camp, whether you're in the sexual addiction camp or the sexual anorexia camp. I think they have a little bit of a different flavor to them, but both of them are kind of pointed at the fact that it's their sexuality is the problem. In other words, on the sexual addiction side, I'm too ramped up. I've got too high of a sex drive. It's a problem. Over here, it's in sexual anorexia. It's the very fact that I have a sexuality is at fault. It's the problem.
Right.
And if I could just completely eradicate my sexuality,
yes,
then life would be good.
That's right. And they spend their whole time doing that, trying to avoid the appearance of being sexual or interested in sex or, yes. Okay, so their sexual aversion affects their work. Remember, this is criteria. It affects their work, aversion, sexual aversion, their hobbies, their friends, their families. You know, who they get close to, they tend to be loners. They're not in groups with other people, feeling comfortable. They feel detached inside. So this aversion to being a part of who we all are, being sexual, this aversion causes them to almost do more isolating than connecting.
Well, and when I see this about it affecting work and hobbies and friends and family and all that, I'm thinking, well, I think our natural instinct is immediately our minds go to, well, it affects all of these things negatively. Well, I get the picture. The first thing that popped into my mind was the workaholic, where it might affect his work positively in the sense that he's doing all, I mean, he's really pouring himself completely in his work, but that affects his family and his friends negatively. Because, you know, I think one of the most common things that I've seen personally in sexual anorexia is a propensity towards workaholism. Because a person can detach themselves
That's
into their
good.
Work.
Yes.
And it's kind of, in a work environment, you don't have to be intimate with your coworkers.
And you look so normal.
And, yeah.
He's at work. He's working hard.
Well, you even get praised for overtime and doing the job and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, that's good. These individuals obsess about sex so much that it interferes with normal living. I mean, it's they can work and be good workers, but can they go home and sit on the couch and relax and the wife put her head in his lap? You know, can they just sit around and interact with each other? Or is there a sense of defensiveness and, you know, caution and space needed?
Well, this is another one of those ironic things, that criteria, that here's a person who, more than anything, they would like to just be free, so to speak, from even having a sexuality. And yet all their time is consumed with thinking about sexual things, thinking about, now they're thinking about them from the aspect of, I wish I didn't
avoidance.
Have to deal with this. Yes. I wish, but it's interesting. It's kind of like the, whatever our minds are focused on, whether positively or negatively, will drift in that direction. So here's this person whose mind is constantly on negative things about sex and sexuality. Well, where are they going to drift? They're going to drift toward those things, and it's almost like it feeds on itself, this hatred, this self-loathing, this aversion to sexuality, because they're focused so intently on it that they keep drifting towards it, so it just feeds even more anger and hatred. And I mean, it's just like they're eating themselves up literally from the inside out, because they are so obsessed with it, and yet they can't get away from it because it's part of who they are.
Right. Because you can't not be a sexual being.
Right.
We all are. So this last one is a good segue into what you and I talked about, this layering effect, because some sexual addicts will have episodes of binging or periods of sexual compulsivity. So like you said, the guy that never touches his wife, but he'll binge on porn for the weekend, you know, and you go, those two don't make sense. Well, and they don't make sense if you look at it externally, but if you look at it internally, he doesn't want intimacy. He wants safety and isolation. Then he can look at these pictures. He can make up his own fantasies. He can go have a little sexual binge without having a person to engage.
Yeah, you know, and Patrick Carnes kind of puts this graph out there as more of a bell curve, and I, in my experience, and I'm certainly not going to claim that I've got nearly the experience that Patrick Carnes has in this arena, but I almost see it more as a layer, or as layers, where kind of sexual addiction is kind of the top layer on the cake, but I can't really think of many cases where I've met somebody who's a sexual addict that doesn't have the layer underneath of some sort of sexual anorexic tendencies. Meaning, when the sexual addict who's over here and the way their addiction plays out is it's about more, more, more behaviors, when they start dealing with those behaviors, it's been a very rare case when that person doesn't have underlying acting in issues that we're talking about here in sexual anorexia. Mm. So it's almost like, I feel like the deeper issue is the sexual anorexia. Sexual addiction, a lot of people are just focused on those behaviors and how they're affecting their lives negatively. But I think we got to focus on that deeper layer that says, wait a second, what about these attitudes towards sex? What about your attitudes towards intimacy? What about your disposition towards emotional health and spiritual growth and all those things that I think are the bedrock of either a healthy or an unhealthy individual.
And I think that that's the place you and I have arrived at when we're talking about sexual addiction. Once you identify that and put that behavior in check, then you get to see what's under it.
Right, because the behavior's just been masking what's underneath.
Yes, a lot of busyness, a lot of fantasizing and objectifying and escaping, all those things addicts do. But but there's always something underneath it, emotional immaturity or sexual anorexia. There's, you know, trauma and abuse and all kinds of stuff down there once you start digging down. And so we made this assumption, at least I did, that once you got these guys to stop acting out with their sexual behavior, they would turn, embrace their wife, and there would be a great union because all that energy would have been brought back home. Except, you know, we have guys that have come to meetings and will sit in a meeting and talk pretty open and go home and never talk to their wife. And, you know, one guy told me that. He said, I've been doing this for about 6 months. I come to meetings, I talk, I feel safe here. I never tell my wife anything. And, you know, there's usually a rule in group, don't tell anybody's story, but please tell what's going on with you, what right. you're feeling, what you're learning, what you're thinking. Talk about you. And these guys will go home and they won't talk. And it's exactly what we're talking about. There's this aversion to getting intimate with someone else.
And we want to help you listeners be able to overcome that. If some of these things that we mentioned in this list about sexual anorexic characteristics, if these things apply to your life, if you see yourself in these characteristics and you would like some help, please contact us. We are here to help you get through this and be able to become a healthy individual where you can begin to embrace your sexuality, understand what it means to be healthy and in intimate relationships. We'll give you our contact information here in a moment. We are glad that you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week when we come at you again with the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Pursue excellence. In our daily battle against lust, it can become easy to buy into the just get by mentality that only asks us to exert just enough effort to stay short of the line of impurity. But that isn't the attitude of a winner. Those who win in this battle are the ones who pursue excellence, always seeking to do more than just enough. By pursuing excellence, you will ensure that your feet never come close to even touching the line of impurity.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.